Thank you for downloading this Fofcast. Some of you may be wondering what a Fofcast is, but it's a bit like a podcast, but it's made by Friends of Fulham. This is the first one I've done, so I sort of started with an apology. If it's a bit disjointed or hesitant, this lack of experience will explain the reason why. A lot of you may know me as French Connection, the Silver Fox, and this Fofcast is dated about the 30th of January 2010, and it's really my experience of the day of Fulham versus Aston Villa. It's not a match report because this was adequately covered by all the media hacks, and you've probably seen the goals on TV. So it's really my experience of the day, really, and my feelings and enjoyment of the day. Any mistakes and omissions are entirely down to me. As many of you know, I'm an expat living in France, so it gives me special pleasure every time I go back to the cottage because it only happens three or four times a year. So as this is quite rare, my senses are always heightened and you find you savour each minute and the smells and sights far more because the memories have to stay with you until the very next game. So it may be some month's time. So these are some of my personal highlights and lowlights of the day. Firstly, thanks go out to White Witch and her husband Keith all the way down at the Coven. Keith gave me his season ticket for the day, which was right at the back of the Johnny Haynes stand, exactly on the halfway line. You can't get any further back, it was right at the very back, so had a great view of the whole pitch. All the people down at the Coven, White Witch and her husband, American Mike and Miss Witch Tour, were all going to a wedding that day. So they were all complaining about the audacity and they were all outraged at somebody considering even getting married when Fulham were playing at home. Anyway, Miss Witch 2 must have put a three-line whip in place because American Mike missed his first home game in 3.5 years and he was having a good old moan about that. Anyway, this was somewhat tempered as a result because they felt they hadn't missed much when they saw the result. Anyway, I think American Mike must have used the fact that he was going to miss that home game. He's negotiated going to see Sunderland away on the day of his wife's 30th birthday. So I don't know how he managed that. Anyway, my thanks go out to them. I got the train up from Dorking to Wimbledon, catching the occasional glimpse of a Fulham scarf at Epsom and Worcester Park and at the different stations. At Wimbledon, I got on the Underground and went from Wimbledon to Putney Bridge Station. And that made me particularly nostalgic because I used to live in Wimbledon Park and I used to go up to the cottage from there from the tender age of 12, which was, what, in 1965. So I spent the whole of that trip between Wimbledon Park and Putney Bridge, gawping from the window, remembering the park and the various views and crossing the river and coming out at Putney Bridge. Putney Bridge Station, I was rather surprised actually at the number of ticket touts there were as buying and selling tickets just outside the station. I don't seem to remember that from my youth. I don't know if it's a new phenomenon. Anyway, it's now about 12:30 and it was a cold, crisp winter's day, a perfect blue sky, with the sun scintillating on the Thames and glinting off the blades of the Rowing Club 8s as they glide down the Thames and under Putney Bridge. I must admit my heart felt a warm glow when I glanced to the right and saw the floodlights of the cottage peeking above the trees in Bishop's Park. And I also went past the small church just by Putney Bridge Station where they filmed The Exorcist. I was hoping to see Frank Lampard with his head twisted round backwards, but no such luck. So I went onwards over the bridge to meet all the friends who a lot of you may know, and we'll have a chat about that just in a moment's time, at the Jolly Gardener's Pub, which is just off Putney High Street in Lacey Road. And had a wonderful welcome in the pub. As I walked into the pub, Stanley plonked a pint of Fuller's into my hand. So that was my first pint of beer. Not very good for my diet, I must admit, but more about that later. I'd like to give you a little word about Stanley. Some of you may know, some of you may not. Stanley lives in Chicago, and he's passionate about Fulham to the extent he has a season ticket and comes over for 11 or 12 home games a season and 5 or 6 away games too. So he flies over on the red eye on Friday night and arrives blary-eyed into Heathrow on Saturday morning. He drops off his suitcase at the hotel and then he's off to for the pre-match drink and a chat in the pub. And after that, he had a chat with friends, and it's an overnight stop in a hotel in London, and then a flight back to Chicago on Sunday. Stanley's great fun to be with. He's interesting to talk to, so if you do meet him at any games, do say hi from me and have a chat, because I feel privileged to count Stanley as a friend. In the pub, there were so many of the foffers, or the friends of Fulham friends, who I know well, and it was great to meet some of the old friends, Chairs and the Equaliser, Mr. Scar, Fulham Footy Chook and LD, and also to put names to faces, some of the people who I hadn't met before, but the frequent visitors to the board, OS, with four numbers, is it 58 something? I can't remember offhand. The Doctor, he was there too, and there was Badger as well, who I'd been wanting to meet for some time. So when you meet there, you have a good old chat about Fulham, you catch up on the news and the family news from each of them, and you have your hopes as well for today's game and the forecast and that type of thing. Some of the different conversations that stick in my memory from the hour and a half chat I was there, it was good to see Perry and his family. Perry posts on the board. He's got his wife and his two lovely daughters. It's amazing how they'd grown up. I've known them for about 10 years now. All the family are season ticket holders, and they're lovely family and always fascinating to talk to. I'm hoping they get down to Burgundy again this summer so we can meet again. Another point was Equaliser standing outside the pub just in his Foff t-shirt in freezing temperatures, ostensibly having a long conversation with his girlfriend, but he was standing there shivering most of the time, so I don't know what he was talking about. There was Mr. Scar, Dino, explaining why he's abandoned the Foff diet. There was Kaz, who, as you probably know, as Fulham Footy Chick, married to Fat Freddy's cat. And she was under strict instructions from Fredster to make sure I stuffed myself with lard and pies. He'll be pleased to know that I did have a couple of pies, and I'm sure it wasn't very good for my diet, that with all the beers as well. I met another chap called Kevin, who goes fishing with Mr. Scar and Wade. He doesn't post anything on our boards. And I think Kevin libelously suggested that Wadey has somewhat of a vivid imagination about the size of his fishing catches, but perish the thought. I'm sure Wadey wouldn't like that, and he wouldn't do such a thing at all. Badger. Now, Badger's been on the different Fulham message boards. It must be years I've known him now, and only finally got to meet him, so it was great to have a chat with him and talk to him. Let's hope he doesn't make a stranger himself on this new message board. LB number 11 was there, as always is, our gentle giant. And he's always a great source of Fulham information, and it's liberally sprinkled with his great and wonderful sense of humour. Southfield White turned up as well sometime during lunch hour. He's looking decidedly dazed for some reason. I couldn't work out why. Airfix came along as well, carrying the big Fulham drum. And in tow, he had two new Canadian supporters, new Fulham fans, had come over from Canada, and it was their very first game. So I think they enjoyed the friendly atmosphere there was there. It was good to meet, as I say, OS 5889, Owen, who's discovered he's not nearly as good looking as Avatar on the message board, but you can't expect him anymore, can you? The Doctor, he was there as too, and he's just as funny in real life as in his posts on the message board. Cork City was there, as always. He comes over from Ireland pretty much for every home game, and he flies back in the evening back to Cork City, and it's always good to see him. A load of other people on the board, White JC, Love Child, and the Otter. And again, my apologies to everybody who I missed out as well. It was great seeing you, it really was. So everything went by too quickly at lunchtime, and soon it was time off to go to the match. So a bunch of us all left, following Mr. Scar and Southfield White out of the pub, straight down a dead end. And that was, I think, it's been an ominous start to the afternoon. You wouldn't think they make that journey every other week. How they could end up in a dead end, I don't know. But anyway, we came out and found a way back over Putney Bridge. And again, my pulse quickened as I glanced left and see the cottage off and looking forward to the game. I walked there with Kaz and Chez as well, and catching up on all her family news. And she was walking along, supping the rest of her gin and tonic through a straw. I don't know how she manages that. Anyway, we join the crowd for the traditional walk through Bishop's Park, and that always is great fun. And everyone seemed to walk faster the closer you get to the ground. And you get the familiar sights and sound as you get close to the ground. You get the smell of onions from the hamburger stands, the shouts from the program sellers, the background noise from inside the ground. And you can see the police on horseback as well. And it all contributes to the great atmosphere. I bought my Fulham program, £3.50 nowadays. It's a bit more than the six old pence when I first came to Fulham. Anyway, I got into the ground about 6 or 7 minutes before the start of the game, went up to my wooden seat at the back of the Johnny Haynes stand. The match started, and I'd like to say it was evenly balanced, but I must admit Aston Villa do play some really classy football, and they certainly passed the ball around well. It was a bit frustrating to see Davis injured again so quickly, just as he was coming back from injury. I don't know how long he'll be out for, but it didn't look too good. Anyway, the first half carried on. We were hoping to get through to half-time all square, but there were two very quick goals, and found ourselves going to the break two down. I think it was that Bounder Hoare, or whatever his name is, that got the two goals. So that was frustrating, because it just came from two set pieces. Half-time, I had a quick tipple of the old plum eau de vie from my Fulham hip flask, which I shared with my immediate neighbours, and that tended to keep the cold at bay, because it was the cold winter's afternoon, even though it was quite sunny. The second half saw us create a few more chances, but we seemed to be contained by Villa and we had trouble finishing. It was good to get my first look at David Elm. Came on a sub for Nevland. David Elm looks quite useful and sharp, I thought. I don't know if you have the same feeling, but Eric Nevland always seems to me to play better coming off the bench than when he starts the game. Other comments, our makeshift defence didn't play badly. Hughes always looks very solid, even playing at left back. But he can't get forward like Pansel, can he? Anyway, 2-0 at this stage, and it was a bit frustrating, really, because we didn't really create enough chances. One other thing, I found the Johnny Haynes stand was disappointingly quiet throughout the whole game, and they hardly seemed to sing at all. I was expecting far more singing and shouting. Very subdued. Anyway, after the game, I wandered down to the front of the stand and watched the highlights of the game on the small monitors in the big press area there. Certainly, our goal opportunities look far better on TV than in real life, actually. The press area is oddly antiquated. Although they're equipped with the latest internet connections and video playback technology, they sit in the same narrow rows and on the same wooden seats as we do. And it all looks rather cramped. So I stayed there and looking up after about 10 minutes, the ground was almost empty. Okay, it tends to clear very quickly, except for all the security staff around the pitch, clad in bright yellow coats, looking like rows of bananas. So I didn't really have the heart to go to a pub after the game and dissect the reasons why we'd lost, and it felt a bit frustrating, really. But it was another defeat. Another defeat didn't really seem to faze the Fulham faithful, though. The Fulham shop was doing a roaring trade with a long queue waiting outside to get in, and there was another long queue as well at the ticket office. Anyway, I bade a fond au revoir to the Johnny Haynes statue and wended my way back to Putney Bridge Station. I dropped into the brightly lit Fulham shop, which was near the station, and picked up a Fulham keyring for my blowy car. It's a great shop there, people are very friendly, and it's worth going in there to pick up your souvenirs. While I was in the shop, I chatted to a couple of Fulham fans who were from Prague, come over from the Czech Republic for the game, and wondered again at the diversity of the Fulham fan base, as I say, with the Americans there, Irish, and people coming over from Canada and from the Czech Republic. We really seem to get people from everywhere. I spent the train journey back to Dorking, reading the programme and dreaming of my next trip back to the cottage, which will be sometime later in the season. I don't know when, but I'll have to try and get back again. Finally, a quick remark. I did have a shout and a beer for all my American friends, McBride Fan 1, Ridge Rider, and also for Finster in New York as well. And also for Gold Coast White down in Aussieland. They requested me to have a shout and a beer for them, which I did duly do. Anyway, that's really my appreciation of the day. So thank you for listening. And till the next time, this is French Connection, the Silver Fox, saying allez les blancs.